Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
This is Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, our frequent guest. As we talk about Kansas State athletics. Fitz, welcome. How are you today?
Your bump music just made a fat old man dance.
There you go. Well, you got to tap your toes to the Ohio players, no question. Let's start with football, even though it's in the distant past now. K-State's bowl game win in the Rate Bowl, in which Dylan Edwards really broke out. How hopeful should we be that Dylan Edwards showed us what's to come in that game?
Yeah, that was, it was impressive, wasn't it? Now look, there were some matchup issues with Rutgers that played to his advantage, and honestly, anyone with speed. That was a big, strong defense built for the Big Ten, built for Big Ten running backs, not for a 5'7" guy that can run like the wind. And they contained him at times, but when he had enough space, they couldn't handle him. I mean, they just couldn't track him down. And I thought he was really impressive. He looked the most locked in. I didn't notice him blowing any assignments, which, you know, it's been kind of a knock. He doesn't fully know the playbook, so maybe he kind of settled in a little bit. I thought he was really impressive. He handled himself extremely well in postgame. And, yeah, that was a real positive thing for K-State. I think coming out of that, though, it made it pretty clear to them, between him and Joe Jackson, who's a little bit bigger but not really big, they need to get in the portal and find more of a third down bruiser of a back, which they have done with a transfer out of Nebraska who didn't play much but will be a nice complement to those speed guys.
Now that the season is over, his season is over, do you look at Avery Johnson's season at all differently? We know he didn't run a bunch, but he did set the program record for touchdown passes, which I was stunned by. And you think he can put that together with some increased running next year and really just have the entire package?
Yeah, was it interesting after, you know, the season was basically done at the pre-bowl press conference, Chris Klieman admitted he was 4 or 5 games after Colorado where they did not want to run him. They did it sparsely, but it wasn't until late in the season that he kind of had returned to his more healthy way. And Avery told me at the bowl game it was the healthiest he'd felt since the start of the season. So he was able to get out there and run. And, you know, getting more mass on him is certainly going to be an off-season goal. They've got to get him to be a little bit more durable. But in terms of his season, if you go back and look, well, first of all, the touchdown record, let's be honest here. It's impressive that he did that in his sophomore season. It's also an indictment of how bad K-State football was for a lot of years. But they didn't have touchdowns, let alone throwing touchdowns. The bar was a little bit lower than with most programs. Because even after, you know, Bill Snyder got here, Chad May was really the only truly passing quarterback he had. He kind of started to move into the quarterback run game not long after that. And that also waters down touchdowns. I think Avery had a pretty solid season. Taking the fact into consideration that he took away his biggest weapon, his legs, he did throw the ball fairly effectively. I think what skews everyone's opinion of Avery's season wasn't just the turnovers. It was the timing of those turnovers before half, at the start of the game, at the end of the game. It seems like too many of his turnovers had a seismic impact on the outcome of the game, and I think that sticks with a lot of fans, and honestly, it does just cast a shadow over the entire season.
Talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, the publisher, longtime journalist in our state. I described Wichita State's team, basketball team, last night to a friend of mine as a mishmash of talent that doesn't mesh. Could the same thing be said about K-State?
Yeah. Although, since that Wichita State game, I've thought they've been better. They should have won at TCU. I understand that. They didn't play well enough, long enough in that game. They had some lapses in the first half that were incredibly costly. And, of course, at the end of the game, going scoreless in the last three-plus minutes. But I think they're finding their way. I love the way they responded after that Wichita State loss and in the holiday break and came back and beat a really good Cincinnati team and handled them. But they, you know, needed to win at TCU and didn't get it done. But that wasn't really soul-breaking. It's still early enough where they can get on a tear and do some damage in the Big 12 if they're good enough. But tonight, against Oklahoma State in Stillwater, if you can't win that one, I mean, that's one of the most winnable games left on your schedule, particularly road games. You got to get it. You just have to. And I will agree with people that the Cincinnati game was more of a mirage than reality if they lose in Stillwater.
Yeah, and in the non-conference schedule, it seemed like the rotation was a little bit unsettled. You never know. You never knew quite after the main guys, obviously, which role players were going to play or how much. Do you think that's being resolved? Do you think the Big 12, the first two games in the Big 12 have kind of shown what Jerome Tang is going to do rotation-wise?
He's surprisingly down to basically a six-man rotation, which I think is really light. He'll throw some guys in there, you know, to relieve some people. David Castillo, Caleb Ritz will come in and get some minutes, but he's really down to six guys with C.J. Jones coming off the bench now that Doug McDaniel's in the starting lineup. And I said this weeks ago that I think if K-State wants to really become a much better basketball team, Coleman Hawkins and Doug McDaniel's are going to have to assert themselves as a combo, much like we saw in the first season when he had two great players that worked really well together. Those guys need to get on the same page, and I feel like they're starting to do that. And now that Doug's in the starting lineup, he's having a greater impact. And Coleman Hawkins is looking for his shot, something that Jerome Tang said has been a struggle. He's a pass-first guy. He always wants to feed the ball to his teammates, and they had to have a conversation. You can do that, but your first option is to go score, because that's what we need from you. And he's responded.
Talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. I was getting ready to ask you about Coleman Hawkins. Because I've watched quite a bit of K-State, especially recently, not so much early, but their recent games. He seems like that kind of player that if he's playing well, you're going to really like him because he's got a lot of personality and he's got a lot of charisma. But if he's not playing well, you're going to scratch your head and go, what's going on with this guy? Is that an accurate depiction of who he is?
Yeah, it is. he had a tendency earlier in the season to kind of stand on the fringe of the offense and just kind of hang out. And there just wasn't enough motion in totality for that offense. But when you've got a 6'10 guy that can shoot it from everywhere and can put the ball on the floor and handle it and pass it, you want him a little more involved than he was. And I feel like at Cincinnati throughout the game, and also TCU in key parts of the game, we saw a great more activity on the offensive end, not standing around, not just by Coleman, but by everyone. And I think once Coleman started moving, everyone else started moving, and it just became, more of a cohesive offensive effort. I don't know if they're running anything different. They're just running it with more passion, including Coleman Hawkins.
Has the league been what you've expected so far? We know kind of the SEC is what's carrying, but really dominating college basketball right now, at least at the upper echelon, top 10 type teams. Do you feel like the Big 12 has the depth and the quality at the top that we were kind of advertised?
No, I don't actually. I think Kansas is one of the better teams, but I think even KU fans are going to scratch their head a little bit about where they're at right now, heading into Big 12 play, in the teeth of it. Arizona's been struggling, so it has been a little bit different. But again, it's going to add to the excitement of this conference because someone's going to have a really good Big 12 basketball season we just didn't expect. And I'm confident saying that won't be K-State, but it will be someone, because I thought K-State would be a pretty good team, and they simply have not been. And, someone will step forward and start pushing Iowa State and Kansas and the other to Houston, the other teams that are going to be at the top of this conference. This is a really quality conference, but it hasn't backed up the talk in the postseason. And now, in a shocking turn of events, we're seeing ESPN prop up the SEC in basketball as well as football.
Tim Fitzgerald with us. Let's talk about the women, because they are having another really special year. They're 15-1. They're winning their games blowout style almost every single night. And they have a real interesting matchup tomorrow night at Utah, which is 12-2, ranked 22nd in the country. What's this club capable of? Because right now they've added some really quality talent to what they had last year when injuries kind of hit them. Have they fortified themselves to the point where injuries maybe won't have that kind of an effect?
Yeah, they have. I think this staff did a great job of bolstering this roster. Tamira Poindexter, the Tulsa transfer, has been pretty solid. They've got a young shooter now. They've got a backup post now. The young shooter has been on the team, but I feel like there's just a lot more depth here. And you go back to the Texas Tech game that they won by 20 points. Ioka Lee played 19 minutes. I mean, they were able to really take some of the load off of her because they've got better answers when she leaves the floor. That, at the end of the day, when she was injured and then not quite 100% at the end of last season, that spelled doom for them, and I feel like they've added enough pieces where they can survive, be a little bit more competitive without her on the floor, and plus being able to not play her so much at this point of the season might make her more fresh for the end of the season. This is a really good team, but we know this. You're going to be judged by where you finish in the Big 12 and how deep you go in the NCAA tournament, and that's a story that hasn't been written yet.
You have obviously a relationship within the K-State fan base, so I'm going to ask you this. You put it all together. What happened with the football season, winning a bowl game, for whatever that's worth, the performance of some of the players. You've got the men's basketball team, which has maybe not hit a stride yet. You've got women's basketball. You've got the other sports. What's the mood of the average K-State fan as we start the new year, 2025?
Grumpy. Despite the bowl win, I think that relieved some pressure. Thank God they won. I can't imagine how grumpy some of these fans would be, but I don't blame them either. And, I've owned it. I thought football would be better. They weren't. I thought basketball would be great. They haven't been. And I think a lot of people share that frustration that this seemed to be a season that held a lot of promise on all fronts. And so far, only the women's basketball program is upholding that. Even volleyball, that we thought would be really good, struggled at times this season. So that's just how college sports work. Sometimes, you know, I don't think anyone expected anything from Jerome Tang's first season, and lo and behold, he went to the Elite Eight. And maybe that set a bar that's a little bit too high in expectations. But it has been a frustrating year. They thought they were in for kind of a dream season all across the board, and it hasn't really worked out that way.
Well, Grumpy's my world, so have those folks call me, Fitz.
Yeah, you're good at it. I feel like you're less emotional, Grumpy. Like, you just kind of go, blah, 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 and they curse and want people fired, and you just are just...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want anybody fired. We always appreciate you. Thanks for your time. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.